Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste, and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and delighted as always to have a guest with us on the show today. And we're going to be talking about how to cultivate peace under pressure, which is something I think all of us could use a little bit more of, especially this year. It's been an interesting year. So my guest today is Dr. Heather Tucker. And she is the founder and CEO of Another Level Living, which is a professional training and coaching company. She is a master life harmony coach, speaker, and trainer. And her mission is to guide business leaders to achieving their work-life harmony, which creates optimal prosperity and abundance. Something I think all of us would like more of, I know for me, for sure. She uses strategies to support her clients in stressing less, increasing energy, and strengthening relationships in order to achieve victory and success in all life areas. And she also certifies life coaches as well and communication mind experts. And she's certified over 350 life coaches to date. That's pretty awesome. And there's a lot more awesome stuff here, but I think we're just going to jump right into it. And first off, welcome, Dr. Heather or Heather, which can I call you?
Either one is okay. I go by Dr. Heather. I guess that's my quote unquote stage name. It really makes no difference. It's just something I did. It doesn't define who I am. But to I guess the world, yeah, Dr. Heather is fine.
Okay. Well, awesome. Well, let's start off talking a little bit about, I want to kind of get right into our topic today, but I think later on, maybe if we have time, I also want to learn a little bit more about you and how you got into doing what you do now. So what are some of the challenges that you find that most entrepreneurs face?
That's a great question. The journey, entrepreneurship is not really a job. It's a journey. And a lot of times when we start off on this journey, we're thinking, oh, this is going to be smooth sailing. We got the vision. Let's do this. And then reality hits and you come across all of these obstacles, not just obstacles in trying to figure out how to build a business, but also even probably obstacles that you have in your daily life. Think about your family, relationships, even our own health can be at jeopardy sometimes when we're trying to put out so much energy. Parenting is a whole nother can of worms. Yeah. So especially in this day and age, it's difficult because as an entrepreneur, you are given the vision, not everyone is around you. So sometimes you can go through these hills and valleys because our business is a total reflection of us. And so, it's hard to have a really good, solid ease and enjoying the entrepreneurship journey if there's a lot of life stuff that's getting in the way. I mean, even things that may not impact us, but what about what impacts our loved ones? So maybe they're going through some challenges that we need to be able to be there for. And so how to be able to create consistency is key. And I think a lot of it also has to do with that feeling of support. So feeling supported on all levels. And wow, there's just so many challenges of what that comes to. It leads to fear. Think about you're going through uncharted territory, right? And then it's also scary because you may feel like you're going through it alone sometimes. Nobody else may get you. And that's why it's really important to be able to find, don't go the battle alone, have support. You're fighting against the odds. 95% of businesses fail within the first couple of years. So for those of you who are in business longer than 3 years, like, congratulations, you have overcome those challenges. And even still, there will be challenges. And how do we overcome the fear of moving forward to really being able to facing everything and rising into who we've really been called to be?
Yeah, and that's, I can relate to so many of those that you talked about. I mean, thankfully, I have managed to somehow stay in business for, it's been over 10 years now. But I definitely experienced a lot of that. And I'm just wanting to also have a quick aside for those of you who are listening and might hear some strange rumbling in the background. I've been muting myself occasionally because we are having a terrific thunderstorm. It's summertime as I'm recording this, and it's lovely. And that can even be, you know, something that if you've got a business that deals with the outdoors, sometimes that could be a challenge. I know I've got a friend who's a photographer, and if she has like a shoot planned and then suddenly it's outdoors and suddenly it's raining, you know, that can be a challenge. So what are some of your recommendations for entrepreneurs to overcome challenges, especially fear? Because I know fear is definitely a big one.
Yes. Wow. That's a great question. So one of the most important aspects of this journey is recognizing how much everything really is a reflection of you. For example, it's the greatest wealth is really your peace of mind, body, and soul. That's why it's really important to be able to practice total health and focus on the healing and restoration of whatever that's needed. This is why I talk about, and I specialize in life harmony. And it talks about having peace even in the midst of the chaos, because we cannot control sometimes the things that happen around us as much as we would love to, yet we can control how we respond to them. So it's almost like reclaiming the personal power and personal freedom and allow it to be able to spread from there. So what that also entails, not just practicing total health, but recognizing patient perseverance on the path. See, a lot of times I hear, I should have been this far ahead by now. This business should have already been successful. Like, this relationship should have already been good. Like, all of these different should have, would have, could have. Yet we can't live in that space. What if I said that timing is exactly perfect and exactly where you're supposed to be? Because there's a learning in that. So if we can practice more patience, you know, with ourselves, with other people, then a lot of times that's really hard. And the more patient we are with ourselves, the easier it's going to be able to be patient with other people. And that goes with anything that we're trying to do. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I definitely remember early on when I first started my business, it was probably maybe 2-3 years into it. Maybe even a little bit longer, but I would see people that maybe were starting around the same time I did. And it seemed like they were going so much farther and had achieved so much more than I was, even though we're not even in the same business exactly, you know, but just a solo business owner, let's say. And then I would have to remind myself, okay, wait a minute. I'm not working full time because at the time my kids were still in school. So I would like go in the afternoon. I would pick up my son from middle school. I was, you know, taking them to different things. So I wasn't working 100% full time in my business every single day, like maybe those other people were. So you're right about, you know, getting into that trap of comparison is not a good recipe for success. You've got to just trust. I like how you said divine timing, that, or maybe you didn't say divine, but I'm going to put it in there that it is, that everything is happening for a reason. And there are lessons that you've got to learn. And sometimes they're painful, but hopefully they're still good learning experiences that you can get from. Tell me a little bit about, if you would, how did you get started doing this? How did you launch your business being a life coach?
So what's interesting is I got my PhD in something totally different, IT, when I was 27. And I landed my dream job working for the Army, six-figure position, like, who really does that at 28? And what I realized that there was so much suffering going on around me. And it was like, I could, yes, stay in this position and feel comfortable, but I also felt uncomfortable because I knew I was called for something else. And of course, like, so I talk about this fear because yes, there was seriously great fear in even taking that foot out from insecurity and going off in uncharted territory. And it was when actually the whole Trayvon Martin situation, I was about 20 minutes away from where that happened. And I was there throughout that whole time. And he was the same age as my nephew. And I realized that what I'm doing right now is not what I should be doing. Like I'm called to be able to do something else. I don't know what it is. And taking that leap of faith was really, I guess, I think the greatest thing, because it's the power of life coaching that can heal, that can restore, that can allow people to, regardless of what they've been through, they can be able to recreate a brighter future. And what I had to do first, though, was recognize all of that within myself. So I struggled with post-traumatic stress and trauma from childhood, had no clue how that impacted me, and then becoming a parent, it totally changed everything because you're like, why am I so frustrated with this child? Okay, wait, what happened in my childhood? And I need to go back and resolve. And so it has really been that hero's journey of leaving home, going out into the unknown, uncovering a great problem, only to come back transformed. And the desire is to be able to show others that you can restore your own health too, regardless of what you've gone through.
That's amazing story. And it's interesting that you said you also had to then heal yourself in the process, because I have several times talked to people on this program who have shared that same experience. It's like, that's in a sense, that's why they do the work they do now, is because they had to go through it themselves. And I think that's what's led me into doing a lot more spiritual work and writing. I'm working on a book right now, and I've repositioned this podcast from where it was 5 years ago, where it was strictly online marketing, you know, cut and dried. But now I want to be able to bring in more of the mindset work, because that's what I found was something that I definitely needed to work on so that I could be successful in my business as well.
So can I share something with you?
Yeah,
absolutely. So my goal, or my job at the military, I was in artificial intelligence. You know, I spent about 12 to 14 hours at least a day on the computer. And during that time, you know, recognizing how a computer operates in zeros and ones, I was really aware of that. But the biggest thing that I realized was that it had this being on the computer and ignoring like my own health, my own peace of mind. Like it was almost like the computer was emotional control, like for me, which I didn't even realize because it was my job and my personal. And then slowly after I left, you know, I realized, wow, well, our mind is like a computer too. Mm-hmm. And our unconscious mind holds all of our memories and our body, like it's all connected. Like the whole reason of going off was to figure out, okay, well, why does my mind think so many negative thoughts, so much destruction, as compared to love and like you know, for instance, the Bible says we're fearfully and wonderfully made.
Right.
And that we are a masterpiece worth far more than rubies. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like that inside. And then it was interesting because I would find myself in environments where I didn't feel like that either.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was it didn't have anything to do with the environment. It had everything to do with me. But if I wouldn't have gone on this journey to figure it out, it would have been like, what?
Exactly. Yeah, I know. Please close the door.
It's okay. I'm going to tell you.
You're like, now on the podcast, dear. For those of you listening, yes, my husband was just opening the door to try to let the dog in.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing because, like, you know, who knows? The kids could come in and and that's what the whole part about Life Harmony is about, is about knowing that it's okay not to be perfect.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time. Like, you had mentioned before the comparison, right. And I got caught in that too. Like, why do they look so happy? And why? And so what I tell my coaches is that, you know what? You're in a league of your own.
Yeah.
Like, when I created that or realized that mindset, like, wow, there is no one else in this world exactly like me who've gone through the experiences, the knowledge and skills. And it's almost like owning our uniqueness. Yes. Like, why try to fit in when we were born to stand out?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the pillars of my book is about valuing your uniqueness. And it's definitely, again, something I had to learn for myself as well. And that's why I teach my clients that it's so important. In fact, I was having a discussion earlier today in another mastermind group, and we were talking about being authentic. And then some people don't know, how do you be authentic? But it's really just about appreciating who you are and not worrying what other people think, which I know can be challenging sometimes. Which actually brings me to a question. What, for the clients that, because you work with clients, but you also, I know, are certifying coaches, but in working with clients one-on-one, what is, what's sort of the common, or maybe the, I'm sure everybody is unique, of course, but are there any common, I'll phrase it this way, are there any common themes that people come to you for help with? And what are they?
Yes, absolutely. So, a lot of time I work specifically with women, business life harmony for women. I certify men and women. And specifically my coaching clients are women, and they come because there's so much stuff going on within their life. For example, they may have lost a loved one. They may have suddenly became a caregiver. They may be dealing with trauma from their own past that they're like, they have these unwanted behaviors and they don't know what's going on. Or they may be in relationships where they feel unsupported, not loved, not valued, not appreciated. Those are a lot of and a lot of it also has to do with like confidence too. They may not feel as confident in themselves. There may be a lot of self-doubt there. And what I say is that the more stuff that you've gone through in life, like, I mean, there's people that have trauma. We never know what's under the hood of the trauma that people have experienced. They could look like they're okay and totally not be okay, right? And we never really know what's going on. And I almost lost my train of thought. It went away and it came back because it was just that good. It was just that good. Oh, this is it.
Yep.
So a lot of times the more stuff that we go through, like the greater our calling really is. Because I used to say like, God, why me? Why did I have to go through all of this? And then I'm now like, oh, why not me?
Mm.
Because now I've realized that all that crap that I went through, I'm able to show people, like, you know, regardless of what you've gone through too, you can overcome, you can rise above, and you can have that total freedom, mind, body, and soul, and in your whole life that you desire. And it has nothing to do with anybody else. Like we get so caught up in, oh, it's this person's fault, or, oh, it's, you know, nope, 100% responsibility and accountability and that power. So what happens with these women, right, is really cool, because when they stand, they end up standing in their power and they unleash their greatness. And then everyone around them is like, what in the world? Like, you totally did a one, shining bright, being unapologetically who they are and what they've been called to do. And they're like unstoppable. And that's what I love to see, that final result where, and it changes everything. It, when they change the way that they see stuff, the way that they pursue stuff, it totally changes everything. And I enjoy seeing that transformation.
Absolutely. I can relate. There's nothing better in the world, I think, to see that. And I do think you're right that it's sometimes that perhaps why we do have to go through a lot of crap, pardon the expression, is because we are meant to do something with that and to turn it around, especially if we survive it and, live to tell the tale. So that's really important. One thing I wanted to ask you about, and again, you know, because, and it's great that you've got, you know, a lot of wealth of experience and dealing with people over the years. Is there anything that you have sort of found that is sort of the conventional wisdom, think people, you know, say that this is what's supposed to be, that you disagree with?
So what I totally disagree with is the reliance on the mental part of the mindset, and to often ignore the emotional side of the mind. So there's a lot of kids out there, like, for example, including me, where, you know, I was very hypersensitive. I was very sensitive to energy. And it felt like I'm the only one like that, because other people were like, what are you talking about? Or my feelings would get hurt more. Or, you know, I felt like I loved a little bit too much, if that makes sense. And what happens is we're taught not really to pay attention to that emotional side of us, to stuff it down, to stick our feelings in our pocket and keep going. The reality is it never goes anywhere. All the stuff that we've gone through stays trapped in our mind, body, and soul. So to rely on education, right? I want the highest level of education, Gloria, only to seek happiness, only to never have it. You see what I mean? So our happiness does not rely on money. Mm-hmm. It does not rely on our intellect.
Yep.
Because when you combine the emotional and the mental and the emotional side, that creates the harmony, and that's what creates the wisdom. And that's what creates more of a peace of mind and a flow. So I would definitely say is the biggest piece. Like, we get so caught up in what society should look like and what it should be like. And there's millionaires who hate themselves. There's millionaires who love themselves. There's poor people who hate themselves. And there's also poor people who love themselves. So it has nothing to do with money. Like, here's the cool thing. When you have the love and the money.
Oh, yeah. That's the idea. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I almost want to stop right there. But I did want to change gears just slightly, because you did mention earlier, you had mentioned that you were impacted by Trayvon Martin. So I was wondering if you would share your thoughts on one of the other things that's been going on this year besides the pandemic, but the maybe, let's say, resurgence possibly of the Black Lives Matter movement and having it hopefully make a bigger impact this time around, and even though again, now it's sort of died down. Now everybody's in the United States anyway, now we're focusing in on the election and all of that. So what's your thoughts about?
Well, this is a really good topic to talk about, because we've had these patterns of these incidents that happen and then they get neglected or ignored. And what you see now is not just the reflection of what's going on with George Floyd. This is a reflection of a whole collection of traumatic situations from even 400 years ago and beyond.
Right.
And what happens with trauma? So one of the reasons why I talked about how we grew up and, you know, you put your feelings in your pocket, you keep going. This is a common thing, especially among the minority people, because it's almost like you can't get caught up in the trauma. You have to continue to move forward. Mm. And I say this, like, for example, my grandfather, he was murdered when I was 5 years old.
Wow.
And we're in a small town. Mm. It could have been possible for them to be able to find out who did it. Mm. But reality, especially from the cop's perspective, that was mostly white, basically he was just another dead black man. Mm. Yet if he was white, mm-hmm. they would have found out who did it within a week. And so it's almost like, yeah, these differences on how people are treated. Now, when the Trayvon Martin situation happened, and it was the day that George Zimmerman got let off, where that I decided that that was enough. Mm-hmm. I was in a room, and I was the only minority, mm-hmm. and everyone else was going on business as usual. So it didn't necessarily impact them like it impacted me. Mm-hmm. Now, is it their fault? No, it's not on their radar.
Yeah.
It wasn't really, you only have so much stuff to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think a lot of people are upset too, because they never really paid attention to it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I went to do this work is because it's to empower people have them empower themselves, their mind, body, and soul. So therefore they can be able to see through any situation that happens. They can be able to communicate the most effective way. They can be able to, if somebody is trying to ignite the anger in them, they can be the one that can be calm and recognize the situation for what it is. It's almost like taking back ownership and taking back our power. And this is where systemically, this power has been suppressed. But oppression is depression. And that's why you have so much chaos with, you know, not just this situation of feeling unsafe with the cops, which is really sad, is I've even experienced racist cops coming up to me. And what was interesting was, if it was my husband who was dark skinned and he was by himself, it would have been a totally different story. So what's sad is that we get caught up, maybe not even necessarily racism, but it's a lot of unconscious biases that people aren't just aware of. Mm-hmm. For example, I was in Greece about maybe 5 years ago. I was in Greece and I look at the TV and they're watching. So the Nutty Professor, the Clumps, was on.
Okay.
And I'm like, wow, is this their perception of black people?
Mm.
Right? So, and can I fault them for having the Clumps on, and maybe this is their only experience?
Yeah.
So it goes back to, yes, there has been so much oppression, but those that are the most oppressed, it's funny because they have the greatest power. Goes back to what I said before.
Mm.
Now it's up to them and to us to be able to recognize that. With that being said, we cannot do anything about what has happened.
Right.
What we can do is be able to change our trajectory so therefore it doesn't happen again. And how to really be able to do that is for everybody to be able to come together, you know, to be able to become the one. Mm-hmm. And that includes forgiveness, love, patience. The more that we teach each, or the more that we each individual celebrates that and heals that, mm-hmm. the easier we can be able to come together. But one of the things, there's a movie called Just Mercy, and it just came out. It's a really good movie because it talks about this dynamic. Like, for example, this actually connects to my entrepreneurship journey. Mm-hmm. So Gloria, my grandfather was a successful entrepreneur. He was one of the richest Black men on the shore when he passed away. And what happens is, like, sometimes when they're like, entrepreneurship is the freedom. Mm-hmm. But for me, there was this, oh, don't put yourself out there. Something could happen.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Gosh, yeah.
And it happened even in that movie, as you can see.
Right.
So there was a lot of even entrepreneurship before, especially when within the minority communities, and then it would get squashed down. So regardless of what has happened, how can we change it for the future now? Mm. And that is the only way that it can really happen is, first of all, recognizing the leader in each and every one of us, overcoming the victim mindset, mm-hmm. stepping into becoming successful for yourself and your family, and allow that love to be able to come through and spread like a wildfire, even to the people who may even try to treat you wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, it's I remember when years ago when Trayvon Martin, like every time it would happen, it was almost like Trayvon Martin, then this one, then this one, this one. And it would emotionally like knock me out for a couple of days. Like I'm just so like, what in the world is happening? And now I see it, the situation, and I wasn't charged by it. Mm. I wasn't emotionally charged by it because I recognize that I'm doing the work to try to resolve it. So anytime something happens, we ask ourselves, what's our part in it? What is our responsibility? Because I can't control what happened, but what is our responsibility? And then making sure that we're doing that in the right way, in the best way possible, the way that we're supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it's great that you are doing the work that you're doing, because also, you know, you're working with adults who are possibly our parents, and then God willing, then they're going to be able to, by example, especially because kids really learn by what we do, not so much what we say. So if that can start positively impacting people that you work with too, you know, be able to show more love and empathy for one another, then hopefully the kids are going to follow that. And there's hope for the future that we will be able to start treating each other as human beings and not be obsessed by, you know, either sex or gender or, you know, sexual orientation, color of skin, all of that stuff. So thank you for sharing your perspective on that. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. I just wanted to say, like, there was a part in that movie where he talked about, what do you do when you were guilty before you were even born?
Mm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then it's almost like, okay, that's a big one. And yes, you feel that, like, as a Black woman, you, like, I remember feeling insignificant.
Yeah.
Not important, or like the least.
Yeah.
Now I know I'm the greatest, the most significant, the best, yeah, of the best.
Absolutely. You know?
And that will, like, imagine if everyone stood in their power in a place of not love or not conflict,
right,
but of pure aloha, pure love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it would, our world would look a lot different than it does now. And I'm optimistic that we will get there slowly but surely.
And that's why we do the work that we do. Like, the best part about life coaching, the best part is a win-win. It's a win for ourselves. It's a win for our clients. Yeah. It's a win for the world, because it creates this ripple effect that totally heals and transforms not just the person that we coach, but also their families and loved ones and their businesses too.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, which, good segue, because you just made me remember that I wanted to ask you if someone would like to find out more about working with you, or maybe even training with you to be a coach. What is the best place that they can, how can they get in contact with you?
Yes. So the best place to be able to find us is at www.anotherlevelliving.com. And again, that's anotherlevelliving.com. And we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So, and then if you go to anotherlevelliving.com, just put in your name and your email address, and we will send you 5 secrets to creating your ultimate biz life harmony.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll make sure I have all that information in the show notes as well. For those of you who don't have a pen handy, it's okay. Don't relax. So is there any other last bit of advice that you would have for, again, anyone wanting to be able to cultivate peace under pressure that maybe we didn't cover yet?
I would say courage.
Courage?
Courage, because regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it feels like, if you are called to be able to do this, you need to take courage for yourself, create that courage for yourself and others. It's like, become that lion or that lioness that you've been called to be. You don't have time to wait. I do know that it's maybe like, God, you want me to do this? Why? And all of that resistance, let it go, break free from it. And if you can't do it by yourself, that is totally okay. I couldn't do it by myself either. You don't want to go the battle alone. You want to make sure that you have support. So seek those supportive environments, because you matter. You totally make a difference. And you are so very important.
Mm. Oh, excellent words to end on. So thank you so much for being on the program. I really enjoyed talking to you and getting to know a little bit about you. You know, we've been sort of in the same circles for a while. We're both members of the same networking group, but I haven't really had a chance to sit down with you. So this was really great. So thank you for being here, Dr. Heather.
My pleasure. Thank you. I really enjoyed this time together too. Thank you so much.
And I also thank all of you out there who are listening and or watching on YouTube for being with us as well. And if you want to be able to catch up on this episode again, make sure you go to liveloveengagepodcast.com, and there you'll see all of our other past episodes as well. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.